Howdy, folks. Rob Wolf here. And if you noticed some change in the way that the podcast is feeling, it's because my ever large and in charge co-host, Greg Everett, is not actually here with us today. We actually have somebody svelte, much better looking, and hopefully quite interesting, Emily Schramm. Hey, Emily, how are you doing?
Hi. Thank you for the introduction. I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
Pretty good. We're both commiserating over the fact that we got snow dumped on us. Emily actually has a piping hot cup of coffee. I'm still caffeine free, so but I gotta say I'm getting a little twitchy about that. I may go do an espresso after this.
No, hang strong, Rob. Okay. I will drink for you. Hang strong.
I'll do what I can. Hey, Emily, before we jump into this, let me bang through our podcast sponsors really quick so I can get that out of the way, and then we'll jump in and we will unleash you onto everybody. Okay. Let's see here. So frontdeskhq.com is Front Desk is your mobile-based solution for service-based businesses. CrossFit, dog walking, Pilates, yoga, haircutting. If you know, you or somebody you know collects money from folks or chickens or barter or whatever, and you want to track scheduling and stuff like that, Front Desk HQ is your resource. Wellfoodco.com, that's where you need to go to get gluten-free snacks, grass-fed, gluten-free jerky, and all kinds of good stuff. We have some GMO-free, grass-fed certified MRE type things that we're rolling out soon with wellfoodco.com, so check them out. Performance Menu, Journal of Nutrition and Athletic Excellence, performancemenu.com, $30 a year for the base subscription, $100 a year for all of the back issues, and 15% off in the Catalyst Athletic store. And finally, MasaNaturalMeats.com. These are the folks that I get my grass-fed meat from. They're based just a little bit south of Chico, former clients of ours at NorCal Strength and Conditioning. They ship anywhere in the United States. Hawaii and Alaska get shanked as usual, but the Continental 48 or whatever they call that. Okay, Emily, what's going on?
Boom. Not much. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. Yes, very excited. I'm going to try doing podcasts on Thursday. We've had a hell of a time both with getting this stuff done with me working at the clinic trying to get this certification done. And then also we've had a few technical snafus that basically made Greg and I want to melt our computers and never go online again. So I have a feeling that we'll have better luck today. But Emily, so you have so much cool stuff that I want to tell folks about. You've been on MTV's The Real World DC. You've been on the Road Rules Challenges and have just basically mopped the floor with folks doing all that stuff. You are part of a CrossFit gym there in Colorado. You have Bacon and Skinny Jeans as your blog. You have Unleash Fitness, which is your personal training and online training gig. Tell folks about yourself. Like those are like the bona fides that we need to get out front, so that people are like, well, who the heck is just this chick? She's hot, but why do we care? So Emily, why do folks care? What's your story here?
So I come from Missouri, but I've been in Colorado for about 3 years.
Nice.
I'm a personal trainer and a CrossFit coach here, and I have somehow happened about 4 years ago, I was asked to be on Real World, which I think reality TV is a little bit of a joke, but it was one of those random, like someone asked me to audition when I was working at Starbucks, and it was just a freak accident thing that happened to get me on the show. So I was kind of just going with the flow, and I ended up doing Real World. I ended up doing some challenges that they spin off of the Real World, which is like a little bit of a mix of Survivor meets Wipeout, mm-hmm. I kind of like to call it. And I've been able to, I don't know. I mean, there's so much fun. I'm kind of competitive. If you CrossFit, you always embrace your inner competitor. And so with the challenges, I've been able to do that in a different light. And it's just been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun the last few years.
That's awesome. So, you know, so I did the Discovery Channel I Caveman show. So we have a little you know, shared overlap there, I guess, with the reality TV scene. You know, one of the wackiest things about doing that was actually the psychological evaluation. Do you remember doing that before you went
Oh my gosh. Yes. I had like a 4-hour psychology quiz, and then I had a talk with a psychiatrist. It was insane. Did you pass the test?
Apparently I did, but you know, it was kind of funny. So, you know, they asked these questions like, Do you fixate on death? Do you fantasize about killing people and burning them alive in like a car? Like was that some of the stuff that you had in yours?
Yes.
Like, yeah. And so I asked the gal
exactly.
that was
maybe like a...
it was just so wacky. And I asked the gal, I'm like, so does anybody not ever pass this? And she's like, actually a remarkable number of people don't.
I can imagine.
Holy Christ. Yeah.
I know it was like a 600 question thing, but luckily I think we might've both passed.
Just by the skin of my teeth. Yeah.
Barely.
and you know, the gal actually told me that part of the reason why they need to do this, like, so there's the reality show Face Off, you know, where they do the costumes and the body painting and basically the prop building type stuff, but build it, you know, making people into monsters and demons and all that stuff. And so when they first started the Face Off show, when they put the people through this psych profile who were going to compete on the show, all of them failed initially. And they're like, well, this is what I do. I think about the way that a living corpse would look. So I've got to think about this stuff. And so they had to get all these writers to let these people still compete in the show, even though they had completely failed the psych profile, which I thought was just totally fascinating.
That is fascinating. I mean, good TV comes from crazy people. So not to throw myself under the bus at all, but I feel like there's something to it a little bit.
So were you one of the balanced people on the show, or were you?
I'm a little under the radar. You know, I'm a very low key person in general. I just like to win challenges. So I think I was there for merely the fact that I was more of there for the actual challenges, while some were there more for the alcohol or for the party aspect,
right.
Which, you know, I think I was a little balanced.
Right.
Compared to most, but
it's always fascinating how they put those shows together, because they usually, they're very good at picking a group of people who are going to be good teammates and they would otherwise get along really well. And then they find one grain of sand to throw in the mix, and that person you want to fucking kill on day one, or maybe one or two people. And but I guess that's where the whole thing gets interesting. So
Well, there's about 30 of us on these shows, and about half of them are those grains of salt.
Okay,
so
that was a big show. We only had like,
yeah,
we only had like 10 people on the IK show.
Good.
So
yeah,
so they could only fit in two people that were a little bit wacky with that. So
that makes sense.
So Em, what was your athletic background before getting into CrossFit, and like how did you find CrossFit, and now you're actually part of a gym? Give some folks a little bit of a background with that.
Yeah, so I've always done sports growing up, never that competitive though, but I loved soccer. I always played soccer. I went to college, and I, instead of playing soccer, I decided to pursue a little more academics. So I did intramurals all the time and flag football, and I always kind of missed out on some real competitive things. And so I, after I got onto the real world and the challenges, I mean, there's something about watching yourself that is, it's pretty hard to see yourself. And, you know, especially girls in general, we're hard on ourselves as is. So as I was watching myself, and I just shape, and I always considered myself an athlete, but I was not an athlete anymore. I feel like I, you know, you got to kind of work for it if you're an athlete, and I hadn't been. And so I really had found this place in my life where I was just not happy, and I didn't feel good in my own skin. And then I had to watch myself, and I didn't feel good. And so I really found the gym as a way to kind of take my life back and to feel like I was doing something productive. And, when I, you know, but that was before CrossFit. That was just finding workouts online, and I fell in love with it. I really fell in love with the gym. It got me out of feeling bad about myself, and that's when I decided that I wanted to be a trainer. And when I became a trainer, soon after, I found CrossFit, and then, you know, enough said. I kind of, my life has been changed ever since I walked into my first CrossFit gym.
Coffee, burpees, and muscle ups, basically, and
yeah.
not looking back after that. Nice.
Never going back. And so I found a really good place where I, you know, instead of going through the whole counting calories and feeling guilty about everything I ate, I found oh my gosh, I'm really happy because I just can lift. I just lifted a bunch of weight and I'm like, holy shit, that was awesome. And it was just a really empowering thing that I have found. And when I found it, I wanted the world to know about it. So that's when I really got big with my personal training and with Unleash Fitness. And that's how it kind of took off with Unleash Fitness.
Nice. So, you know, yeah. As you started working your way through CrossFit, like, had you already, like, what was your nutrition like before getting into CrossFit and then getting it into it? Like, was there any type of evolution with that? Like, how did you tinker with your food?
When I first found CrossFit, you can't really go into a CrossFit gym without hearing paleo. I mean, that's just is unheard of. So I kept hearing people talk about it and talk about how it helped their skin clear up and it helped their stomach. And I was like, these people are full of shit. Like, there's no way that that's true. And so, you know, I researched online, but the only thing that convinced me was your book. I read your book and I came home. I threw all my cereal away. I threw all my oatmeal away. I threw my whole wheat bread away. And I was like, I'm going to do this.
Oh,
and
you sucker. You sucker, Emily.
I did it. And I have never, I can't even thank you enough. I mean, I remember that first month I went 30 days strict with paleo and I felt stronger. My stomach issues went away. My acne cleared up and it was like this epiphany of, oh my God, I had no idea nutrition played. I had no idea. I really had no idea. So it was a pretty big, month of finding paleo, and I just want to tell the world about it, as you can relate to, I feel.
So Emily, how did you and how have you tinkered, you know, your paleo eating, you know, oftentimes particularly in a CrossFit environment, which is very metabolically demanding, very glycogen demanding, a lot of times folks will make an error by eating too low carb. Like, did you ever find yourself doing that? Like, how have you found your kind of optimum air fuel mixture as you've gone along?
Yeah, it is so fascinating because I really think everyone is their own guinea pig. And so it's been fun to see, you know, what I respond well to. And I really low fat and pretty like moderate carb, and I just felt like shit. And so I upped the fat pretty high. I think about three times as much as most people do. And I felt really amazing. And then when I cut the carbs too low, I felt like crap again. So I have found a good balance of timing my carbohydrates. And so if I have a big workout at noon, I'd say that breakfast I'll have a little bit more than usual. But I do know that notice a huge feeling in my energy when I have too many. Mm-hmm. And I think some people are different than that. They need more. But I played around with Zone for a little bit and I felt like it was too carbohydrate heavy for me. And I felt always hungry and never really got that like satisfied feeling, and I stopped sleeping as well. So I do better with a higher fat diet and a little less carbohydrate, and I keep the carbohydrates for pre and post workout.
That's so shocking. That's what I do too.
Really? Yeah, look at that.
And you know, it's funny. And for the performance menu, I have history with CrossFit, but at the same time, I love so much of it. I like the Zone. There's great elements to it, but I had tinkered with it, and I ended up writing a couple of articles for the performance menu. One of them was called 42 Ways to Skin the Zone, and you know, there were a couple of these archetypes in there. One of them was the always hungry carb crazed zombie, you know, where they ate their allotted, you know, zone blocks of carbs, and they were always hungry and could never fill up. And
that's so it. I was grumpy, and I felt like I was back in the moment of when I was before CrossFit and paleo for my next meal. And I fully embrace paleo and CrossFit because it takes you out of that mindset. So I really do respond better to not zone.
So could you maybe describe like a breakfast, lunch, dinner then? Oh, and also, you know, I if you don't mind, give folks like height, weight, you know, kind of dimension, so they get a sense of like, are you like a 6'4" Amazon or wee petite Lilliputian thing, or, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, if you watch Real World, I do look very Amazonian compared to these girls, but I am only 5'8". Okay. Which is still pretty tall for a CrossFitter.
Yeah.
I'm 5'8" and I'm 150 pounds. Okay. So I'm actually trying to get a little bit bigger because I'm working on getting some PRs here.
Nice.
But you know, my breakfast is always bacon and eggs. I will always go for bacon and eggs. So I usually do four pieces of bacon in the oven, and then three eggs. And then I either use bacon grease with the eggs, and then I pound it with kale right before I finish my eggs. So tons of kale and eggs and bacon. My lunch, it's usually like 5 ounces of beef, or it'll be like I have a really great place here in Denver that caters paleo food called Caveman Cafeteria. They're just phenomenal. So I usually get like a 5 ounce thing of meat from them with tons of veggies. And then I do a handful of cashews. I always, always keep almond butter in my car. Like, my car is a little bit of a grocery store.
Nice.
So I always have that for snacks if I get really into those new bison bars. Have you had those yet?
I've had those. They're quite good. Yes. I wish I had come up with that idea. Yeah.
Right? They're different, but they're effective because they have protein in them, which no bars really have. So, so that's been a good little snack in between. And then right after I work out, I always have like about half a sweet potato or a little less and a protein shake.
Okay.
And or I'll mix my protein with coconut water, which is, if you haven't had it, you must try. It's like a milkshake.
It's cracky deliciousness. Goodness. Yeah.
Cracky goodness. And then I for dinner, like last night I had two chicken sausages with a bunch of veggies again. I mean, I always overdo the kale. And then my sides, like half an avocado for my fats, or I discovered pecan butter last night, which changed my life. it's just not tons of carbohydrates unless it's post-workout, but I eat bacon every day, and I think I eat tons of eggs. I probably eat 5 eggs a day.
Gotcha.
On average,
Hence the, eggs, bacon, and skinny jeans would have been a really long URL. So you just
stuck
with bacon and skinny jeans.
Cool. I thought about doing bacon and butter because I always put butter in my coffee. A little Kerrygold, I think, is just delicious. So
nice. So, how have you tackled your training with CrossFit? Like, do you do a pretty standard like front page WOD? Do you stick in a little periodization? Do you follow some CrossFit football? Does it kind of change up in a block periodization format throughout the year? Like, how are you tackling your training, and how do you do the training for your clients?
Yeah. But I actually train at Front Range CrossFit here in Denver, which is just a phenomenal gym. And our training, we have, a typical WOD, but we also have team lift right after. So if I'm at Front Range, it's about 2 hours of a workout that they have posted for the gym, and then supplemental lifts, whether they're cleans or jerks or deadlifts. We follow Wendler program right now. And then I'll do, before that in the morning, I'll probably do some row intervals or running intervals throughout the day. So I do about 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours a day, not on my rest days. So it can be pretty extensive, but I'm lucky because I work at a gym. And so my life is just, it's so hard. Such
right.
A rough life that I live. With my clients, I have, it's been so much fun because I coach CrossFit, but then I also get the clients that come to me individually, and they can be, all different ages, all different flexibility issues or mobility issues that I have to kind of tackle, injuries that were going around. I always incorporate CrossFit because I think it's just the way that it works, and the way that what it does for our system and what it does for us mentally, it puts us in a place where we're stronger than we thought we were. And I love people feeling that. I love seeing people hit that point. And so CrossFit's always incorporated in my one-on-one trainings, but it's always catered to their, their personal issues that they're dealing with, whether it's flexibility or injury or whatnot. So it's been really fun. I feel like with personal training, it's so fun to be creative. I think I've been able to find my creative outlet with it, and just to mix it up every day. It's been a really, really great job for me.
Nice. What's the demographic of the folks you train, both online and in person? Is it mainly women, mainly men, pretty good mix?
Mainly women. I'm probably like 60-40, 70-30. The online has been great because I do have such a big following from MTV. And so there's a younger demographic, people my age and people a little younger, that I would have never been able to reach out to without MTV. And so I'm really grateful. As silly as reality television is, I feel like I'm a little indebted to it because I have been able to reach out to a bunch of people and do those 21-day superhero challenges that I launch that gets people logging their points for if they are having sugar or not and sending out videos. So the online is a little bit younger, but here in Denver, I have anywhere from 20 to I have a 60-year-old client without any eyesight, and he's just amazing. So I have such a great mix of people. So it's been really, really fun.
Awesome. Awesome. So tell people about this 21-day superhero challenge. Like how did you come up with that, and what's the makeup? And, you know, I have a feeling my super ability would probably be growing back hair, but I don't know that I would have anything beyond that, but what do people come out of this with? What superpowers?
It started when I went to film my last challenge, Rivals, when I was in Thailand. I was going to be gone for 6 to 8 weeks, and I didn't want to leave my clients here in Denver hanging, so I created this online program where they would daily log their points just to hold them accountable for how they're eating and if they're moving and if they're mobilizing, and then it turned to the world because everyone could use a little bit of accountability if they're looking to change how they feel and their energy. So I started a daily, you know, I send out an email every day for the 21 days, and it could be a workout or it could be like a little piece of nutrition facts. And, you know, at the end of the day, they write if they had any bread or if they had any sugar or soda. And at the end of the challenge, they have like a leaderboard and the winners get some free swag. So it's been really nice. Fun. Yeah, so I don't know what superpowers have come about, but hopefully not flying, because I really want to fly and I'd be really jealous.
If somebody beat you to that, yeah, that would suck. Yeah. It's like the coach should get that first. So
damn it.
Well, the next challenge you do, we should hook up Well Foods and get some Well Food swag thrown in the mix with that.
Heck yes. That would be amazing. That would be awesome.
So, you know, I don't want this to be too leading of a question. I'm actually trying to figure out have you seen what's your experience with, say, like a disordered eating, you know, both male and female, but I would say in general, we would probably both agree that we see this more in females. What's your experience with that? Like how much of that have you seen, and how do you tackle that stuff? I have some thoughts about it, and I wanted to ask a question, but I don't want it to be too leading because I've got some of my own thoughts about that related to paleo and CrossFit and everything. But what's your background with all that?
Yeah, so, you know, I think almost, I don't know any girl that hasn't suffered from a little bit of body dysmorphia where they see themselves differently than they really are, or they look at themselves and hate themselves. And I have been personally affected by that growing up. I mean, and I couldn't even, you know, you're just supposed to go into a pool and have fun and be in a swimsuit. And even with a one piece, I had to wear like long shorts because I thought my thighs were so big. It was like, oh my God, I was 8. You know, it's not normal how we think. And so I really struggled with it right after seeing myself on Real World DC. I just felt so gross, and I really suffered from some, you know, I never got to the point of, you know, unhealthy badness, but the not eating and really, really limiting my food and a little bit of bulimia definitely happened. And so when I found CrossFit and when I found paleo, I felt like that, I don't know, I never struggled with that after I found paleo and CrossFit, because I cared way too much about performing well and succeeding in the gym, that shift of not liking the way I looked turned into, I love the way my traps look because I can power clean a lot. And so there was like this really big shift that happened. But I, from my experience, I don't know any girl that hasn't suffered from that. And it really makes me sad. And it also really makes me want everyone to be paleo and to try CrossFit, because that's what changed it for me. And I think that it changed it for a lot of people that I've talked to.
I just can't agree enough. And this is some of the clearly I'm a male if people hadn't realized that, and I had never really had any type of disordered eating, had never really been around anybody with disordered eating. And we opened NorCal Strength and Conditioning back in 2004, started working with folks. I started off paleo because that's my background, got more involved with CrossFit, and they were really pushing the zone pretty hard. And so I tried tinkering with that, and it was interesting to me that the only people that I saw who came back to me and they said, hey, I've had anorexia, I've had bulimia before, and this weighing and measuring my food is making me do that again. And so I'm like, okay, let's can that. Let's just make this very, you know, kind of gut level instinctual, you know, hunk protein, yeah, carbs post-workout. And what I discovered, and this is one of the things that I really, really love about CrossFit, and I love about CrossFit plus paleo, is because it is a performance-oriented culture, and clearly everybody wants to look good. People love wearing their knee socks, and they like pulling their shirt off during workouts and everything. Like that's as much of the culture as box jumps and burpees and everything. But if you skip meals, if you eat poorly, you are going to so suck ass in your workouts.
Yes.
And it is such a shaming process. And it's mainly internal because you're like, I fucking hate coming in last, you know?
Yes.
And you know, if you were doing well before and then you skip some meals because you're like, well, I want to lean out a little bit. And it just doesn't work that way. So I found it to be remarkable that this combination of quality food focus, real easy to get people lean and strong and everything just by like basically checking in and being like, hey, are you recovering from workouts? Yes or no. Do you want to lean out? Yes or no. We either tinker the carbs up or the fat down, and we, you know, we can largely get the person there, and we don't get disordered eating out of that. And I think it's amazing.
It's amazing. It's a no-brainer. Like, how is not everybody in the world paleo and CrossFitting?
Right. I really agree, you know, you know, if somebody really wants to get in and quantify their food, I think that's fantastic. If you want to, you know, start throwing what you're eating into a food scale or do some weighing and measuring just so you've got a baseline, I think that's fantastic. But we've had really, really good success with an intuitive way of eating. Get a plate, lots of protein, lots of veggies. Post-workout, if you're lean, then way more carbs and more dense carbs. If you're not so lean and we show some either blood work or some symptomology of like metabolic derangement, fewer carbs, there we go. Like that's performance, elite performance nutrition right there. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I agree completely. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating, the lack of knowledge, though, I would say, on that stuff. So the more that we talk about it, and I love that you have a podcast, and the more we get it out there, of just, you know, good sources of protein and, you know, bad, I just feel like there's really not much knowledge of what good carbohydrates are and bad carbohydrates are. And so it's great that that's happening more and people are more interested, I feel like, these days than they were 5 years ago.
Right. I totally agree. You know, this is so painful to say, but you're literally almost half my age. Like, I'm 41, you're 24. So you're working with, you are a generation younger than I am. You're working with people that are almost like two generations younger than I am, which is totally frightening. Someday you'll look back and you'll be in the same spot and you'll be like, oh my God, I remember when fat old Rob was talking about this. But, what's it like working with these whippersnappers? Like are they embracing this kind of paleo thing? Like, I definitely get this sense that, you know, popular media, the government, stuff like that, like it's very in vogue to be vegetarian. It's very in vogue to think about veganism and stuff like that. You know, like what's your experience of that and how are you motoring through that stuff?
Oh, it's so fun for me to kind of shock people. I mean, there's nothing more fun for me than posting pictures of butter in my coffee and then, you know, me with my six pack and people are like, what? You know? And it's just fun because people don't understand. They just don't know. And so it's, I think most people, they see tofu and they see Whole Foods promoting a very vegetarian lifestyle and they think that is health. And so they'll try it. And I relate to that because I tried that. You know, I've done almost everything and just because I didn't know, because tofu sounds good and it sounds healthy. But then you tell them and they're just so wide-eyed and so receptive. And I think that it's been so much fun. It's so different than being at a CrossFit gym because CrossFitters, they get it and they, you know, they're like, yeah, we get it. Bread's bad. And then I tell, you know, someone on Twitter that and it's like, wait, whole wheat bread's bad? You know, so it's just a very different demographic, but they are, I just love how receptive people are to it. It's been really, really fun.
Well, it's got to be a trip too, because I think that when you're in a CrossFit type gym, we really get, you forget that the rest of the world is out there and you start assuming that people more or less understand this stuff. And then because you've had these, you know, big exposures from the mainstream, you know, like when my book was first released and Tim Ferriss very kindly featured a chapter in my book on his website, I couldn't believe how people lost their minds about this stuff. I was just talking about like leaky gut and gut permeability and all this stuff. And people literally lost their minds. And it's, you know, it's great when we get some mainstream, bigger exposure, but it's also kind of like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
You know? I know. And, yeah, definitely. You know, and with reality TV, you know, when I first did DC, I was a very sensitive little bird and took everything to heart. And, but I had to get over it. I mean, I've done these shows for 3-4 years and I just have learned that there's going to be crazy people that talk, and you know, but the amount of impact that we have on the ones that want to listen is just too big to stop talking about it.
So how do you how much time do you devote to the person? They've got like ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, acne, polycystic ovarian syndrome. They want you to train them, but they're just not buying it. They're just not compliant. Like, how do you tackle that, and where is there a point where you're kind of like, okay, your needs exceed my capabilities, and you end up not working with that person because you have all these other people that do want to do what you're asking them to do?
Yeah, right? Totally.
How do you tackle that?
So, you know, anytime that I love those cases. Those are the challenges that I love, because you can, the people that are eager and the people that are yearning to like get in there and do everything I say, I love those people as well. But it's almost more fun to have the stubborn ones because you know how big of an impact it'll be once. You know, some people do really well. It depends on the personality. If they do well with one thing at a time, you know, for this first week, you're going to cut out all your Starbucks. And then for your second week, you're going to cut out all these Red Bulls. And so some people do well with that. But there are those people that I have to convince them for a week or two that you just got to go for it. Sometimes you just got to take the Band-Aid off and see what it does. Because it's pretty – the changes that occur for them if they're in that severe condition, whether it's gluten sensitivity or whether it is – you know, something a little more serious, I think that it's so immediate and that they would be stupid if they saw a little bit of results and then didn't go back. And that's never happened to where they didn't feel better almost immediately.
Right, right. But it's just getting that initial buy-in to so that they can see that change occur.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Sounds like you're a much more patient, empathetic person than I am. I'm kind of a dick with that stuff. Or maybe you're still new and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with this stuff and not burned out and used up like I am.
No, there are times. I will say there are times I get so frustrated. I just want to shake them and be like, take my passion. Like, how do you not see how much this works? And, you know, but everyone's on their own time. And I think personal training has definitely taught me a whole level of patience that I never thought possible. That's for sure.
You know, it's interesting. And I've always wondered where my patience level would have been if I had been a trainer in a good gym versus an owner of a gym.
Yeah.
Because in addition to, you know, like dealing with the clients, then you're dealing with the staff and you're doing the programming and keeping the lights on and the bills paid and all the rest of that stuff. And I think at some point, like the owners of these facilities, you're just so crispy from like being a you know, self-employed gym owner that the thing that sometimes starts getting cut is your ability to excuse me, deal with those non-compliant folks. Or at least that's where I had to cut things because like I couldn't stop focusing on paying the bills, couldn't stop focusing on like generating content, you know, for programming and all that. So that,
no, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, and I've been lucky because I had, you know, I started before CrossFit, I was at 24 Hour Fitness, so good old corporate gym. Mm-hmm. And so, and then I'm able to now have my own business and train in the gyms that I train at. And it's just, it is really lucky because I don't have the big things to worry about. I can focus on the people. So I will say I'm very grateful for those that allow me to do so.
Well, and Front Range is a phenomenal gym. Like I've referred at least 20 or 30 people that I've had emails from folks in the Colorado area wanting to know a good CrossFit gym that I would unreservedly recommend. And you guys do a great job. And I didn't even know that you were on staff there until we had our Twitter introduction and all that stuff. So that's really cool. So
Well, yeah, so Front Range, I am just an athlete at Front Range. So I separate the gym that I coach at is CrossFit Park Hill. So I,
Gotcha. Okay.
yes, I'm all over the place. But it's actually been really fun to be able to separate coaching from training. I think that it's rare to see, but they're both great gyms, and I'm able to kind of, when I walk into Front Range, I'm there as an athlete. And so it's been fun. I really enjoy it.
Very cool. So what else do people need to know that you have cooking here? Like you have your Bacons and Skinny Jeans blog, which is fantastic. You have Unleashed
Thank
Fitness.
you.
What else do you have cooking? Like what do you have going over the next year that you want to get accomplished?
I love these superhero challenges. I think they're great introductions for those that aren't, it's not fully paleo, but it's pretty significantly paleo. So I love these challenges to get the people that are just hearing about paleo into it and seeing the results that it can have, taking out sugar and those things. I am doing some workout videos and launching out a little bit of some workout stuff in the next few months of getting people moving and at-home CrossFit workouts that they can do until they can afford a CrossFit gym, because everyone needs to be in a CrossFit gym, but it's not always realistic for the college students, and it's not always realistic for high schoolers. And so getting people at moving at home versus just going and doing buys and tries and backs and buys and all that. So I want to get some fun workouts for people and keep these challenges going. And just, I really love the motto that I have, the shirts that I sell, the Be Your Own Superhero shirts. I just think that everyone should just keep, God, there's just so much inside of us that we don't even know we have. And if we start moving and eating healthy, we kind of embrace that and we unleash that and we get a little bit of superpowers going on. And I'm so into it.
It's not going to make my back hair grow more, though, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think
Okay. I
that.
don't know that you really could have it grow any more than it does,
Like
so.
endearingly steroid stuff I don't know about.
I all the time I look at that and I'm kind of like, why can't I have all that protein growth go into my muscles? Like I would, I would actually be a male CrossFit Games competitor then at that point. So.
Yes, there you go.
So anything else that you want to let, like, how can folks track you down if they want to do some training with you? How do they do that? How do they track you down online and all that
Yeah,
stuff?
so just go to my website, superherounleashed.com. I am really big on Twitter. It's mfitmtv on my Twitter, and my Instagram, which I'm quite addicted to, is Emily MTV. And so I post a lot of fun workouts and tidbits there, and it's pretty easy to get a hold of me. But any questions, please email me, emily@superherounleashed.com.
Cool. And well, I'll get you hooked up with Squatchy so that we get all of that stuff put in the show notes so that when this goes up on Tuesday, people can track you down and they can become superheroes, but hopefully not grow back hair like
No,
I
no
have.
back
Yeah, no back hair. No back hair.
hair.
Awesome. Well, and Emily, I just have to tell folks, you were so gracious because I changed this time, what, like 15 times, 20 times? I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? But so you were it, I was like as slippery as like a greased eel trying to get this damn thing done. So
That's
I'm
okay. We
stoked
got
we
it
finally
done.
got it. Yeah.
Got it
Well,
done.
awesome. Well, I'm super stoked that you had the time to come on the show. Really excited to have more folks find out about you. Are you going to do any more reality TV? Does it look like any of that's on the horizon?
You know, I might. I never say never because exotic country, that sounds fantastic. So even though I might say no now, you just never know. If I do one in the spring, I might do. I we'll see. I still can't decide.
Have you seen the Naked and Afraid shows?
No, what is that?
Oh Lordy! So they it's so you take iCaveman, but it's typically a guy and a gal sticky out in like the African bush or like in the Louisiana bayou, and you're literally naked, both of you, and you each person gets to pick a tool like a fire starter and a hatchet or like a pot to boil water in, and then you survive for 21 days.
Oh my gosh, I
And
love that.
oh, check out a couple of them. Like some of the people actually ping me because I was on iCaveman, and two of my iCaveman castmates, Billy Berger and also Manu Toigo, have both been on there. And I got a ping about would I be interested in doing that. And I was like, I would really have to think about that, because I lost 18 pounds in 10 days doing doing the first show.
That sounds like me in Thailand. I lost 10 pounds of muscle just being there, CrossFitting.
throw a gathering wood, hunting elk, and eating once every 10 days, and it's a party. So yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I will check that out. Thank you for having me. It has been a pleasure.
Stoked to have you on, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good, Rob. Thank you.
Bye.